introduce a few comments here, but then I'm going to show a clip. First off, a couple of things. One, as you all know, in our first hour, we've taken the challenge. The Lloydies and the guys have taken the challenge to deal with the book of Revelation. Gee whiz, it took us guys 5 months to get through Jude, and that's one chapter. We'll be in the book of Revelation when the Lord comes back, so we'll just go ahead and ask him to come on in and help us finish it up. The book of Revelation is very powerful, and it has meaning. It's full of symbolism, that's for sure, but those symbols have specific meanings. They're not all that arbitrary, but you have to have a working knowledge of the Old Testament and certainly a knowledge of the New Testament. And that book is written to give us a lot of encouragement. It was given to give the early church, the first century church, hope and confidence that we are the overwhelming conquerors. We are the victors in one heck of a battle. A battle that has raged since before the time of the earth. Now, recently, Don and I had the opportunity when we were in Okinawa to go to Hacksaw Ridge. Now, that's a true story. I mentioned it a little bit, I think, the other day when I was up here. And maybe you've seen the movie. How many of you have seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge or know anything about it? Okay, we got some hands. Okay, it's a true story, World War II. Now, it's about a guy, Desmond Doss, who wanted to serve his country. But he was a conscientious objector. He was a believer in God, and he didn't believe in killing, but he wanted to serve. So he wanted to go in the army and wanted to be a medic. And, of course, he goes, well, they wanted him to pick up a weapon, at least in the training, and he wouldn't touch the thing. He got in trouble. They court-martialed him. But it turned out in the final analysis that he was vindicated, allowed to serve as a medic, and off to the battle he went to. He went to Guam, he fought there, or he was there and, as a medic, and also at Okinawa. Now, his guys at first and in training, they didn't like him. They thought he was a coward because he wouldn't pick up the weapon. They harassed him, beat him up, actually. He went through a bunch of stuff, and he turned out to save most of their lives at Hacksaw Ridge. Now, he single-handedly, the army got pushed off that ridge a few times, and he got left behind up there one time, and because the other guys were off. Now, they didn't know he was up there. And he started lowering guys down, wounded guys, with a rope from the top of that ridge down a cliff. And they had no idea, where are these guys coming from? They were showing up in the aid station, and they said, where are all these wounded coming from? Hacksaw, sir. Hacksaw? Yeah, they're coming down on a rope. Well, who's up there? We don't know. And one of the wounded said, it's Doss. That guy lowered 75 guys down by himself. Received the Medal of Honor from Truman, President Truman. And so some people have grabbed hold of some of these snippets from the YouTube and put the spiritual spin on that, of what that guy was doing to save the people. And you'll see he keeps saying, Lord, help me get one more. One more. Now, as we're going through our book of Revelation, you know, the book of Numbers makes it real clear God's people were an army. They were numbered as soldiers 20 years and older. 603,550 in the book of Numbers. And the purpose was for them to go and take the land, to be victorious, to fight this horrendous battle. Now, when you read that in the Old Testament, man, they were doing that with close up and personal with swords. If you can imagine that. And had to bring down walled cities. The New Testament says the Christians are soldiers of Jesus Christ. That we are to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to still be standing. Then when you go into the book of Revelation, you get behind the scenes of all kinds of horrendous war, battle, destruction, which started in heaven. Now, a lot of people might say, man, I don't like the idea of war. Well, who does? Who does? But if that's the way it is, then we better armor up, man, and we better be ready. So what you're going to see here is, you know, after a battle, Doss is like, God, you know, he's talking to God. He's a believer. He says, what should I do? He didn't even know what to do because it's the devastation is so bad. And he says, I can't hear you. And then all of a sudden you hear a voice cry out, medic, help me. And then he stands up, puts his helmet on, and said, all right. And right into the furnace he goes. I think of Paul. He gets a vision, the Macedonian vision. And it said the voice was pleading. If you see that in Acts 16, the voice was pleading, come over to Macedonia, help us. All right. Put the helmet on, the helmet of salvation. Let's go right into the furnace. The dragon is well brought out by Jerry in his meditation. Is going to oppose that. He realizes you fight him. If you're successful bringing in just one more, how do you know that one more isn't one? The last one for the temple matrix, and you fit that in there and kaboom, the whole heavens explode, Peter said, with a tremendous noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. J-Day, the dragon, knows that. You see, our New Testaments don't show us, you know, the Old Testament seems quite violent. But the New Testament, not so, even though we're told we're in a war and we need to armor up. But you know, our war is greater than the Old Testament battle. This is it, man. This is everything. Now, the last segment I'll show, it's a separate segment. I'll avoid some of the shooting up parts to get to when Doss himself had to get off that ridge. And man, as he wore out, man, he'd been doing that all night. He's a wreck. And the soldiers down there are just in awe at what he did. And as he's coming through, they're just parting the way, and the look on their faces reminds me of when the saints go marching in. Oh, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, because guess what? The angelic realm has watched you and helped us through this great battle that we've all been in. They can't hardly believe it, what you've been through. They were by sight, we're by faith. They know you've never seen God, seen his shape, heard his voice at any time. Yet you denied yourself, you took up a cross, you were crucified with him, you gave up your life to save your life, and you went out to seek and save that which was lost, to get the one. You left the 99 to get the one. So when you see the look on them soldiers' faces, I want you to think angels. Hey, they fought first. The Bible said the war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, but they did not prevail. The dragon didn't prevail, and he was cast out. So they're soldiers too. They're the army of God, but so are we now. But yet they know what you and I have been through, and they're going to be blown away. And when they see you coming through, they're going to be just stunned in awe, and they're going to say, the Lord, he is God. Only the Lord could have raised up an army like this. Only the Lord could have took the likeness of you and I, weak and squishy. You know what I mean? Petty and carnal and moaning and groaning about it, and transform us into the very likeness of God himself. But man, you're going to be pulled through a knothole sideways. That's why few will find it, Jesus said. Only few will find it, because they ain't going to go through that. Nobody else did what Doss did. Nobody did what he did. Nobody that I've ever heard ever did what he did. They give the Medal of Honor if you basically give up your life to save one or two other people. He single-handedly got 75 men down from that ridge by himself. That is still unbelievable. And it's a true story. And he was a real common guy, a real kind of simple in many ways. If you've ever watched him be interviewed in real life, he was a very simple kind of a guy, the way he spoke. He's passed away some years ago now, but there's plenty of video of him actually, you know, people asking him questions. But he was a very common man. And he did the most unbelievable thing. We are those people. We are the common man. We are the common people that heard Jesus gladly. The harlots and the publicans and the drunkards. It was the religious elite that couldn't see him and could see the Messiah standing 6 feet in front of them. In fact, they're the ones that killed him, was God's people. So if we're going to be working through that book of Revelation, man, we need our eyeballs open and a little snippets of actual war. I mean, that's a parallel, but that is not the greater battle, never was. Doss did go home after that. He was wounded. They did go up after he got down. They went up the next day to take that ridge, and the men wouldn't go up without him, and he was over there praying, and they had to wait for him. The battalion commander calls up, "What are you guys doing? What are you waiting for?" And the captain says, "We're waiting on Doss, sir." "You're doing what? Get up there." And the commander told Doss, the captain told him, "The men ain't going up without you, man." Because they believed God was with him. Because it was unbelievable what he did. They went up, they took the ridge, Doss was wounded, he went home. We go home when this thing is over. That's when we go home. In World War II, the ID cards for our soldiers said expires, duration. The rest I know when I was in, at least we had an expiration date on our ID cards, our enlistment. For World War II veterans or soldiers, duration. You ain't getting out till this battle's over. This war's over. We are not getting out of this. On our Christian ID cards, on our baptismal certificates, it should say expiration, duration. You're in for the long haul. Okay, so we're going to watch Doss. He don't know what to do. He said, "I can't hear you." And then the voice in the fog, "Help, medic, help me." That's enough of a call to get up and start going. And off he goes. And then the one we'll see when he comes down from the cliff, and all the soldiers are in total awe. Think of angels watching you come home. Remember what it said of Lazarus? Jesus tells the story. Angels escorted Lazarus to Abraham's side. Angels escorted him. They're involved. Let's watch. Kill the light. Easy. I hope you can see past that podium.
Thank you.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and just run that other one. When he comes down off the ridge, we will cut out some of the bang bang, shoot him up. But you'll get the idea. Okay, play there, yeah. Washing of purification. Okay. Somebody can hit them lights. Yeah, need to get those. Those. Obviously, that's a very powerful visual. I'll hit it again, though. There ain't no way that a man-made war is going to be greater than the war in the Bible. No way. And if that looks horrendous, and it does, imagine what the reality looks like that we're involved in right now. Hopefully, working through the book of Revelation now with maybe a little bit more of a mindset, a little bit of a deeper thought about some of those symbols and imagery of the book of Revelation, if we can recall that story of Desmond Doss. Again, it's a true story. You know, if that was just a Hollywood flick, man, that they threw together and made some crazy you know, story about some hero that saved 75 people all by himself. I wouldn't have liked it. I'd have thought, that's baloney, man. That wouldn't be happening. But because that's a true story, he did that. Saved half them guys that persecuted him, didn't like him, thought he was a coward. He was the bravest man they ever met. As I said about the end there, when he's passing by the other soldiers, the look on their face. I like how they did that, had him walk in as those parted. Again, the Bible says when the end comes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when he, Jesus, delivers up the kingdom to his Father, when he puts an end to all rule, authority, and power, verse 24, for he, Jesus, must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And the church comes home. He's bringing it home. I can't even imagine what all that looks like, spiritually speaking. I mean, because of our limited little pea brains, it's hard for us to comprehend. But we must. The bigger the faith, the bigger the power. The stronger the faith that overcomes the world's our victory. That's our victory. As I said, Doss went home after that. He went back to Ho-Dunk, wherever he was from, to his wife and he lived a very modest life, humble guy. And we don't get to go home until our war is won, battle fought. As I mentioned, you know this out of Luke 16, when Lazarus the beggar died, he was escorted by angels. Didn't say who escorted the rich man that died, who lifted up his eyes in hell. Probably demons, for all I know. But it does say angels escorted Lazarus to the comfort side of Hades. Now, that place doesn't exist on the comfort side. The torment side does now, because those dead in Christ now go to paradise to be with the Lord. I expect that we get escorted by angels there as well. That dragon, it says in Revelation chapter 12, makes war. He has great wrath, it said, because he has a short time, in verse 12. When the dragon saw he was cast to the earth, in verse 13, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, the church. Verse 17 says the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That dragon was cast out, it says. He fought with Michael and his angels in verse 7. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought. They didn't prevail, nor was any place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels with him. Man, that sounds sci-fi, man. That sounds crazy. People don't... I mean, is that true? Is this true? Yes, it's true. But see, that's what faith is all about. It's now to understand these things. Faith is not just something nebulous that we make up in our own heads. The Bible says there's one faith. One faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's what produces the one faith. And we need all this. We need Old Testament, New Testament, and we need to understand the context of the symbolism of the book of Revelation. There is a huge battle. The dragon needs help. He enlists in the very next chapter. The beast out of the sea and the false prophet out of the earth. The beast is world governments, because that's still true today. Those things still play out. It's world government that opposes the forward movement of Christianity or the displacement of Bibles in the world. The false prophet is false religion. We already mentioned it was religion that crucified the Son of God. It was the people of God that killed him. Jesus told them, Jews in John chapter 8, they were insisting that God was their father, Abraham was their father. Jesus told them, Jews, the devil is your father, and your will is what you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, didn't abide in the truth, still don't. He's a liar and the father of lies. That's why they crucified Jesus, because he threw that stuff, rightly so, right in their face. Did Jesus know what he was talking about? You betcha. You betcha. False religion today still persecutes the forward movement of Christians all over the world, even to the point of death. I don't need to tell you about Saudi Arabia, obviously a very Islamic country. You show up waving that Bible around Saudi Arabia, they'll cut your head off. They got regular religious police. They will arrest you. The book of Acts is still being written as we speak. I told you this before. If you look in your New Testament, all the New Testament books end with amen except James, and I think he just forgot. Except the book of Acts, it has no amen. Still being written. Blood still being shed for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God's sake. Still today. It comes in various forms. It may come in your own personal life when your family rejects you because you've become one of them lunatic fringe, right? You know, religious fundamentalist or something because you've got a Bible. You're a Bible thumper. It's hard to be rejected by your family. Some of that rejection can be pretty serious. Or co-workers, people that mock and laugh. Yeah, right. They found Jesus. That's not easy to face. Like they did with Doss. They thought the guy was a coward. He was the bravest man, they said later, that we ever met. They totally, his captain said later after the battle in real life, Doss, I totally misjudged you. Totally. People that may mock you now and not want nothing to do with you will realize later, they totally misjudged what you were trying to do and trying to do for them. Mention that in Luke 15. Jesus said, do you not leave? In Luke 15, he spoke a parable to them saying, verse 4, what man among you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the wilderness to go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. Jesus said, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 persons who need no repentance. Verse 10, likewise I say to you, there will be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You don't think they're involved? Don't you think they see? They see the whole thing. People driving by here have no idea what's going on inside this building. They probably could care less. But I'll guarantee you who does know. And they see every bit of it. Those ministering spirits, those angels, I told you it's in the end of Hebrews chapter 1. I'll give you the verse. It's just the last verse there. Speaking of angels, Hebrews 1 and 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? They know exactly what's going on. That's why I drew your attention to that last part when Doss was walking past the other soldiers. They realized what he just did. They couldn't believe it. In fact, the next day, and this is part of the true story, when they got the orders to go back up on that ridge and try it again, the captain had to come over and tell Doss, who was reading his Bible, because it was his Sabbath, He said, "Doss, I know this is your Sabbath day, but those men ain't going up there without you." He just wanted to finish reading that scripture, and then he went and went up with them. He was wounded. He was wounded. Lost his Bible, too. When he got the word, he said, "I need my Bible, my Bible." Those guys went back up there looking all over the place, even with snipers up there, to find his Bible, and they found it. That's part of the true story. To get him his Bible. One, the angels in heaven rejoiced over one sinner who repents, and Doss was saying, "Lord, help me get one more." If you can't see a parallel, for those of you who have tried, you know it's not easy. Soul winning is not easy, and there's a lot of opposition. You know, I mean, I know I get chances. Some of you have been. We've gone overseas, but you know what? We have them here. And soul winning is hard here and everywhere else. But we might get more persecution in some foreign countries, at least to some extent. But there's persecution growing here big time. I don't need to tell you that. It's growing. The dragon is behind it. He gives power to the beast and the false prophet and to the harlot. To the harlot, the great harlot, who appeals to the sensuality, to seduction of God's people, knowing if she can corrupt us, God will kill us in the end. We will not be perfected living stones. We will not be acceptable in the temple matrix. We are to purify ourselves, the Bible said, putting off that dross so that we can be acceptable, purified. I mean, when that last shot there, when they're dumping that water on him to wash all the mire and the scum and the blood off of him, I thought, wow, that's a powerful picture too. The washing of regeneration Paul speaks about in Titus chapter 3, and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's what we have to do, a washing of regeneration. That's what our new birth is all about, the blood of Christ. To wash away our scum, our sins, our grime, our filthiness. All the parallels. I mean, other people are picking up. That's a physical thing. A war. There's wars going on right now. There always has been wars. From the time Cain took and killed his brother. There's an evil in this world, and Satan's behind it. And we're in it up to our eyeballs, like it or not. Every life, every soul, every soul is precious. You know, it says in there, I did make it clear in the little clip. Them guys said later in the movie, you know, that it was Doss lowering them people down. He says he's lowering Japanese down here too. Doss was lowering everybody down. If he found a wounded Japanese soldier, he sent him down. Can you imagine that? Every soul is precious. He was saving lives, not particular colors or genders or nationality. Humans, people. We need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody. And you know what? I don't care if they're Buddhists, Muslims, blacks, whites, reds. Yeah, it makes no difference to me. They are all created by God, and they're made for salvation. They're made for the glory of God. And I don't care what sign's on their door. I'm going to preach the word with them, to them. And if they say, "You get out of here." If they want to tell me, "You go away," we don't want to hear it. I'll tell them just like Paul told them. Your blood is on your own head. Being you consider yourselves unworthy of eternal life, Paul said, I'm going to the Gentiles. If they don't want to hear it, there ain't nothing you can do about it. But we got to go out and to seek and to save the lost. Lord, help us get one more. The angels are going to see what you've been through because they've been with you. They know your pain, your sorrow, your sadness, your sufferings. They know what it was like when you had to deal with your old man. Boy, there's your enemy right there. You. The old man. You know, it's one thing to go out and preach to everybody else. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, look, I got to keep under my body. I got to bring my body into subjection, lest I'm out there preaching to everybody else and myself disqualified or cast away. You know, sometimes that's what Christians like to do. They want to tell everybody else what they ought to do. They get their act together, get their life together. But hey, it's got to start with us first. You can go preach to everybody else, but if you don't get your own act together, you can be disqualified. You know, I think it came up in one of the discussions, maybe it was one of the evenings down here, we were talking about preference or convictions. What you saw with Doss up there, that is conviction. He would die for what he believed. Absolutely die. You know, his choice to not even touch a weapon. You know, okay, they let him go with that. But, you know, we don't send corpsmen or medics. In the Marine Corps, they're called corpsmen, Army medics. They don't send them out there without a weapon. Usually it's a pistol because they got enough to carry without waving a rifle around, okay? They are armed, and they want to be armed. Most corpsmen don't have a problem or medics having a problem carrying a weapon. But Doss wouldn't even do that. He had no intention of saving his own life. If an enemy come up to shoot him, he was just ready to go. Hey, man, he was a man of conviction. And that's the kind of conviction that we have to have, that we'll do what it takes, no matter what kind of sacrifice that we have to make for someone else's eternity. That's really seeking and saving the lost. And going that extra mile to do that. I already mentioned Doss went home at the end of that and lived a life back in his home community just as a common guy. We don't go home until this thing is over. We're in for the duration. However long that is, I mean, obviously it can end any time an individual simply dies, for sure. Or the Lord comes back. In either case, you're out of here. And to be escorted back with those angels who are blown away and to hear those words, that booming voice, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what it's all about. Thanks for your attention this morning.